So yeah, I just started just tinkering around, and I put one up. I built a little jetpack one, and I put it up on one of the groups. I think it was Sinclair for Sale or one of them groups.
Yeah.
And a few people bought them. That encouraged me to build a few more and build a few more. And that's all I bloody well do.
Yeah,
Build.
I was about to say, you must be pretty flat out at the moment.
Yeah, it's a great. I mean, it is a hobby as well. It is, it's. I do enjoy it. I really enjoy making them.
G'day, and welcome to the Down Under Retro Bastard podcast. Welcome to the end of March. We are going to have a bit of a chat to Morgan Hetherington from 3D Retro Tributes. Morgan is all the way in Dublin, Ireland. So we'll have a bit of a unique chat about his little business that he's up got up and running. Well, the standard retro bastard affair. So bit of shit that's happened from through my gate. Bit of polish and yeah, a bit of the old recap. So strap yourself in and here we go.
Deo gratias.
So, what's on the workbench this month? We have, well, I picked up a Dragon 32, so I think Laird's Lair, who I quite like because he's got really cool intro music and always sort of, has a good spicy look at all the random shit that never got developed. Anyway, he had a Dragon 32, and I sort of been a Tandy fan from way back. I thought, oh, it's about time I got myself a Dragon 32. So that came in from the UK. It was boxed, and still need a Dragon 32 joystick, which is rather bizarre. But I reckon I'll get one of those. So it does work. It's bloody yellow. It's gonna need a retro bright for sure because it's that, what do you call it? That shade of yellow. That's pretty bloody ordinary. So we'll probably get that retro brighter. There's a cool dude in the club who does a fair bit of that. So yeah, basically plug the thing in, all works. Now I didn't actually have any. I tried to get the bloody SVI CAS working with it, which said it does actually support the thing, but I couldn't bloody get it to work. So then I decided to pull out my Coco SDC, and I couldn't find the bloody thing. So this is, the habit of hoarding. Ended up whacking a couple of cartridges in from the old Tandy because it basically is a Coco clone, but the graphics were completely destroyed on any of the greeny yellow palette, whatever that you want to call that on the Tandy. But the black and white games did work with the artifact colours, but there was no sound. So I did try a second telly and still no luck. So sort of got the shits up and put it back in its box, and I need to find my Coco SDC. Also through the gate, oh, I've been chasing this for like 3 years and it's just pure laziness. A guy I play lawn bowls with, he's had an Amstrad XT 286 sort of thing, been sitting up on a shelf in his shed, and we had our last week of bowls and he said, oh, get off your ass and come around there and get this bloody thing. So I finally went around there and Jesus Christ, it's actually in pretty good nick, apart from the fact it's got some shitty AFL stickers plastered all over the screen. So that's obviously, oh, look, I don't think, I'm just going to clean it up. It's got bloody spider webs and shit all the way through it. So it's going to need a fairly extensive clean. So it's actually an Amstrad 2086/30. So she's got a 30 mig drive. So as one of the other guys said, it's an XT with VGA. So pretty keen to get that up and running. I think I'll just turn that bastard on once it's cleaned up and we'll see if we get any magic smoke. So anything's possible. Now I did come across another little bit of a pickup, as you do. Some old dude contacted me, and unfortunately he was not doing too well, and he had some old Atari stuff. So I picked up an Atari STE and a 30 megabyte megafile. So I did have to do another run out there to visit the dude because I left the. He goes, "Oh, some cables here, and they look like bloody printer cables and stuff." I said, "Don't worry." The bloody megafile cable is like a 19-pin device that you can't really buy those 19-pin bloody connectors anywhere where you can, but they're bloody expensive. Actually, the cable for that megafile, the cheapest one I could find was $120. So did another lap back out there to visit the dude, and while I was there, I did also buy a Roland sound canvas off the dude as well because he wasn't really making music anymore. So that was a pretty good little run. Now I had plugged in the megafile, and while there was no smoke, there was that smell of bloody dead components. So that needs to be pulled to bits, and yeah, we'll have to have a bit of a look at that. But yep, hopefully gonna have that all bloody cleaned up and ready to go to a Adelaide Retro meet in the future. Haven't really fixed any other shit, but I did get back. I'm very thankful somebody handed in my A1000, which has been nicely retro-brighted. I've sort of just about got that out. I'm pretty keen to put that together, and I might even knock that off this afternoon if all goes together. And I've got another Amstrad 386 and a BBC Master that need a little bit of work. So, yeah, that's about it for what's on the workbench. But I have had to do a mega bloody pack down because I am doing some bloody painting and bogging. So a lot of my shit's in the cupboard, unfortunately. So the polish. Well, what have we got here? Bit of the old Amiga love. So I've seen Amiga Love's Amiga stuff before, but one thing I haven't bloody noticed is he did a bit of a config on the Ultimate 128 Geo setup. Now, fuck me, I've never seen a bloke that has got so much bloody Commodore CMD stuff in my life. Look, I sort of thought I recognised some of this before where he was talking about. Maybe I glossed over it and I missed it, but yeah, fucking hell, this guy's got so many. He's got CMD bloody super CPUs, he's got hard drives, he's got 3.5-inch disk drives, I can't believe the way he's got this set up. He's got basically one for a RAM drive, he's got one for booting GIOS, he's got another one that's just got files, and he's got every single application under the planet that was ever designed running on GIOS. And yeah, it's a labour of love there. So I thought I wouldn't be watching a half-hour video on bloody GIOS, but I was quite impressed. So if you're into 128 and pretty the old GIOS, and in fact, I reckon this thing would have bloody given a Macintosh a run for itself in like 1984-95, especially when he paired it up with a printer. It was, you know, you got the WYSIWYG. Definitely worth a bit of a look if you're into that sort of old school GIOS shit. Now, here in the old retro bar, so well, we're not just into videos. I came across this podcast. I think it popped up on the radar. I use a news aggregator called Feedly, which is pretty good because there's been some great news aggregators and there's been some shit ones. And there's been some that have been really good and bought out by someone else and turned into shit news aggregators. But Feedly's not too bad. You know, it's got a bit of modern stuff on there, but you can set up. I've set up some retro links on there and, yeah, I jump in there every couple of days and have a bit of a squiz. I reckon this is where this come from, but basically the New Video Gamer Podcast is the name of it, and I'll whack that in the show notes. David, I didn't even look at the dude's last name, but David Brevik, actually, he is the guy who developed Diablo. So that's a really good chat, and apart from the old Diablo story of him, you know, turning it from a turn-based into a real-time strategy, it, you know, everyone sort of heard that. But yeah, they did dived into his past, into his future, what he's been doing. Yeah, just a bloody great listen. I was, on tenterhooks the whole way driving to work listening to this. Thought it was bloody great. So if you're a bit of a fan of Diablo and RPGs, etc., he is a dude to listen to. So yeah, New Video Gamer Podcast. Well, we can't really get through an episode of this month without mentioning the A1200 Mini, or the Maxi, as it may or may not be called. Yeah, look, I've got the other machines, and I was sort of actually hoping for an A1200, actually an A600, because I think it's bloody just a bit more portable and would have made a good maxi size. Like, yeah, I thank fuck they didn't do an A500 full size, because that would have just been ridiculous. No one's got room for an A500 on their desktop unless you're a serious collector. But yeah, A1200 is still pretty doable. A lot of people sort of whinge that, oh, I need a numeric keypad. It's like, do you? Like, not for bloody modern retro gaming, unless there's two of you and you want to use that right-hand side of the keyboard because you can't afford two joysticks. But yeah, so that's obviously been delayed. So they basically blamed Hyperion, and I think I saw another post that somebody else from Hyperion said, yeah, it's not us. So the Cleantu/Hyperion Wars, which affect us retro dudes, is probably still out there and happening. So, yeah, still pretty keen to see that hit the market. It's a great all-rounder retro machine. Basically, it'll just be a 500 mini with a 1200 running on it. So whether or not it comes with workbench, that'll be the interesting thing. So it'd be good sort of productivity machine if you wanted to have something that was semi-modern and fit the bill. So, yep, interesting to see how that rolls out. The other quick one I wanted to mention was Controller Reese. He has a podcast out every week, Reese's Rambles, which is always really cool. He does knock out a video or two a week, and he had the Pico Gus, which I've talked about before. I've got one as well. But I did notice the other day when I was watching him, he was doing a bit of a review, and I sort of flicked through to it just to see if there was anything new. And I did see him playing Jazz Jackrabbit with an Xbox controller, so I assumed that the USB port on the thing was for mice, basically. But yeah, no, so apparently it supports controllers, so that's pretty cool. If you don't have an old school bloody joystick controller that comes out of the sound driver port, so yeah, keep an eye out for that. Now, while I've always got the polish, there's always got to be a bit of a turd. So I reckon the potential turd here to grow into a fucking steaming pile of shit is the EB Games of like now taking in retro. So my prediction is that your Mega Drive that you might have got $100 for on Marketplace, you can take it to EB Games and they'll give you $25 for it and turn around and sell the same thing for $150 probably. And they'll just stockpile all these games and give everyone fuck all for them, which is the standard EB Games model, and they're just going to apply it to retro. So where someone probably decided to get rid of some shit, and you probably would have got a good bit of a trade out on Marketplace. Yeah. Anyway, that's my bloody steaming pile of prediction. Another weird one is, oh, we used to do a bit of this on Grumpy Oz, was eBay prices. Now there was A1200 with a 680/60 on it that was for sale in America, and I thought, oh, geez, this might go for like $1,500 or $1,800 maybe, because genuine 680/60 is pretty hard to find. And yeah, well, fuck me, it went for $2,200 US. So yeah, I think with postage, it was just over $3,000 into Australia. So that was like, Jesus. And the same with an A600, which was pretty bare bones, but geez, it had like 15, maybe 18. Big box games with it, and they were mint. They were in bloody, everyone looked like it was in bloody awesome condition. And I think that went for near on $1,000. So I think everyone was fighting over those games. So yeah, that's just a bit of random retro purchasing. Just when you think the market sort of dried up a bit. I think it's a stock standard shit, like bog standard A500s. People are still trying to get $500-$600 on eBay, but yeah, they're dreaming. They're selling for $300. So yeah, just interesting factoids there, dudes. Rolling into Adelaide Retro for March, we had March and Tosh. Now, I think for 2.5 years, I've been to pretty much nearly every event, maybe missed one or so, and I really couldn't be bothered this month. I just had a bit of a retro CBF, so I just rolled on down. I think partly because that Dragon 32 didn't work properly, so I said, fuck it, I just went down to Adelaide Retro and sat on my ass and had some beers and pizza and enjoyed everyone else's bits and bobs. So there were a shit ton of Macintoshes there for March and Tosh. So there was a great row of them, and took a couple of pictures and got it up on the Retro Battle Stations, and I think it's sitting at 992 upvotes, so pretty close to 1,000. I don't think we might get there over the next 6 months, but yeah, I think out of all the stuff that I put on Retro Battle Stations, that'd unfortunately probably have to be with the most number of upvotes I've ever seen. So that's pretty good for a whole bunch of bloody shitty Macs that were there. But yeah, that was a good turnout. Everyone enjoyed that. So yeah, the Mac heads were in their element. But the PC boys were landing away there, as they normally do. I think they were playing, I can't remember that. They're always playing bloody Quake. But two other dudes did have a couple of modern Macs there, and they were playing Warcraft 2, I reckon. That they had that joined, so used to have some respect for those guys, but it's slowly dwindling. With a shining light, I think, for the whole night was the VIC 20 that was running Elite. That pretty much stole the show as far as I was concerned. So next month at Adelaide Retro is A for April, which means you can bring anything that starts with an A. Amiga, Ataris, Amstrads, Apples, A Open, you name it. So this will be a pretty good meet. Actually, and I think the LAN guys have got Allied Assault lined up, so they've been getting that up and running. So if you're going to bring a PC down, get a copy of Allied Assault on there. And Adelaide Retro runs second Friday of the month at Unley, so you can check out their Facebook page. So run down. So, this month on the recap, we're going to have a bit of a chat about emulation. So, pretty interesting topic, and by no means, this is just my personal view, and I'm no bloody expert. Not really going to touch on consoles, because that's a whole other world, although we sort of go sideways into that. And thinking back, and I'm sort of putting this together, I'm trying to think what the earliest emulation bits of software I probably got to use, and I pretty much think when I got my Amiga originally, probably my 500, I reckon, where there was a 64 package. I don't think it was VICE, I could be wrong, because that was a long time ago. But yeah, all of a sudden it was there, like, because I never really had a 64, and it's like, oh shit, I've got a Commodore 64 emulator now. And I think that disc came with maybe 20 bloody games on it or something, and yeah, they weren't the best, but yeah, so even back in the Amiga days, you sort of had like a bit of an emulator there that you could fire up and run. That was pretty cool. But I guess the one I probably remember the most was the fact that I had a DOS emulator on my Amiga 500. So I had two floppy drives, so I could basically boot into a DOS emulator, and shit, it was slow. But it was pretty handy if you wanted to copy files back and forth between, you know, because a couple of my mates started moving into PCs, and I was there like, yeah, well, I can read your PC disc and give you WAV files and bloody all sorts of different bitmaps and GIFs and shit that were flying around. So that's, you know, that's my sort of early emulation phase. And as I sort of think back on there, like, I don't really remember, like, when you basically moved into PCs as a gamer, you didn't really have time for bloody emulation. You were too busy. There's too many cool things coming out. New video cards, new types of games, you know, you got LAN gaming, all this sort of shit was coming out. And the industry was changing so fast that, no, I don't think a lot of people were really looking back. Hey, you know, as Windows come in, there's versions of WinUAE and that I sort of remember seeing around. I actually, more than likely, I used to have a bit of an access to an old school pirate site. And for some reason, I'd always grab any 64 thing that went through the site. And I definitely remember Amiga Forever, so quite often I'd just grab it and download it, and a lot of the time I didn't even bloody use it. Occasionally I'd just install it. I'm talking early 2000s here. But so I think the emulation scene sort of come back into it a fair bit in the last sort of 5, 8, 10 years, as machines have obviously got faster and bigger, and little portable gizmos have hit the market. As I say, my first, and this is basically my view of the world, my first exposure really back into this was getting a Raspberry Pi, you know. You could buy a Pi for under $50. And, you know, I sort of found out about RetroPi, got that up and running, got that installed, and I'm like, oh, bloody hell, this is pretty cool. I remember we went to a LAN event just with some mates, and we ended up plugging in the old RetroPi, got a couple of controllers going, and we end up playing bloody 1942 or 1943 half the night, and we just end up some bit of Street Fighter and a bit of, you know, just random bloody MAME arcade gaming. And yeah, that sort of got us back into the whole thing. I set myself up two things. One was a Pi Amiga. That was pretty easy to get going, because I'm thinking, Jesus, Pi's like bloody great. I can just like build a whole bloody get up on the thing. So yeah, basically got what was his name? Old ETA Prime had a pretty cool video on how you could get Workbench set up. So I got Workbench set up, and then I got WHD Load running on the thing. And yeah, I just basically had a mouse and keyboard plugged into it and a joystick, and I had my old school Amiga. So I got through Eye of the Beholder one Christmas, Eye of the Beholder 2. That was pretty immense. I pretty much burnt a whole Christmas doing that. Then I went further back. I built myself a Coco Pi, which is the TRS-80. So that basically booted straight into a Coco 2 or a Coco 3. And the cool thing about that is it sort of came with 255 disks attached to it. Now, I felt like a bloody, you know, I was 13 again with that thing. I was just sitting there, yet again, another bloody bank of holidays, and I just sat there and I'd load, pick a disk, number 63. Do a directory, oh, there's some games there. Oh, shit, I remember playing that. Oh, there's a new game I hadn't seen. Hey, a lot of them were crap. But the joystick support was pretty good on the thing, because old Tandy had an analog joystick. So yeah, so I just like went through. I thought I was the first one that ever discovered it. I actually even ended up buying a Wave hat, putting a Raspberry Pi 3 in that thing, and portable. So I had myself a little portable Coco Pi. Didn't quite work, because you need to have a keyboard attached to it to escape out of it, and it was a bit of a pain in the ass. But I guess from there, I progressed from RetroPie, and RetroPie was great. And I don't know if anyone knows about Arcade Punks. You do need to create an account, but there's like, you know, buddy, for that RetroPie 3 and then 4 and 5 now, there must be like 40, 50, 60 images that you can just torrent down for, you know, 16 gig, 32, 64, 128. Bloody, I think they're even up to 5, 12 gig SD cards now, and you can just plug that bastard in and boot up, and you've got like everything from 3DO to Nintendo to television to Amiga to 64, MAME, all on one setup, and it's got all the different themes you can set up. You've got little arcade covers, it's got movies, it's got the whole bloody thing. So if you haven't seen that, so there's a couple of different versions of that. RetroPie was cool and worked most of the time, but what I struggled with is I'd try and play the Amstrad or Intellivision, but the fucking joystick was always playing up. There was something that just wasn't right with it, which is why I ended up moving to Batasera. And Batasera, actually, you can, you know, same with RetroPie, you can run that on an old Windows PC, you can run it on a NUC, you can run it on Linux, but you can run that on a Pi, and I've found the compatibility with that is 10 times better. So most of the different types of machines that I fired up, they all seem to work. So yeah, I've had a lot more success with that. So if you want something cheap and just want to get a bloody emulation machine going, then yeah, Batasera is the dog's nuts. There's a dude in our retro club who's actually bought an Atari, the modern VCS, and we'll touch on some of those other emulation bits and bobs. He's actually got Batasera running on that now. So yeah, he's pretty happy with that, and he's brought that to retro club. So yeah, check out you know, RetroPie or bloody Arcade Punks and get yourself a pie and get bloody gaming. You know, and then bloody hell, how bloody good can it get? Like, next thing you know, like, I'm sort of into retro and I've been into a year or so and I've got a 64 and some other things, and they release the C64 Mini. It's like, oh wow, this bloody thing's pretty cool. It's got a carousel. Hey, look, it hasn't got a full-size keyboard, but it's got some USB ports. I can just plug a HDMI, I can put it in my lounge room, get myself a little C64 emulation thing going with a carousel, and I can load my own games off a USB stick. And then they release, you know, the C64 Maxi, they release the bloody VIC-21, and yeah, bloody happy as a dog with two dicks if you've got one of those, and that's the sort of thing you want. You want to be able to plug it into HDMI and put it in your lounge room and, you know, live the old school dream. And then next thing you know, they're bringing out the A500 Mini. Dude I work with, he's from Pommy Land, and he's got a proper Amiga, and he keeps going, oh, you'll have to come around and fix it. What did he do last Christmas? Got himself an A500 Mini. He's got a bloody, you know, he's got a keyboard and he's got a joystick plugged into it, and he's as bloody stoked as, I don't think he's even bothered or knows how to load any extra games in it, but he's happy playing Speedball and whatever bloody Turrican 2 and all those things that are built into the thing. So, you know, it is a little powerhouse, and what I like is the community, you know, shit, within 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 4 days, that bloody A500 Mini, some bastards worked out how to get Workbench up and running, you know. And that's what I like to see, the people that get a bit bloody crafty. Look, there's other ones there. I've got a little Atari Mini. How cool is that? And look, I've got some of those pretty cheap. I think I picked up that Atari Mini delivered, and it came in from bloody France or Italy, I think. I think it was about less than $120, so straight through Amazon. So that's pretty cool. There's the new Atari Specky. The Spectrum Mini. That's pretty cool. I haven't got one of those yet. It's on the list, but as I said, I'm a bit of a tight ass, and we'll probably wait and see if that comes out on special. So anything's possible. And then there's the new A1200 Maxi that's meant to be coming out. If that actually does come out, I think that will actually hit the market. So yeah, then there's, look, I don't even want to touch on it. There's all the other Mega Drive Minis, etc. So, and then there's Atari Flashbacks. As I said, I'm not going to really chat about the consoles because I've never really experienced any of them. I've got a little mini Nintendo thing there and I haven't even plugged the bastard in. But yeah, if you want to sort of get back into some retro gaming, then I'd be firing up, looking at getting one of those little existing minis at the moment. Guess the other main avenue you could go down, and I haven't touched on this, but I've watched a fair few videos. I did jump into a pre-order for, this is the FPGA. So if you're not aware, that just is a, you know, programmable gate array, so you can, and basically it's the best form of emulation you can get apparently for gaming, due to, you know, compatibility and latency. I jumped on the RMC one pretty early with the Os Vintage dudes, but that sort of fell in a heap. And I think in some ways I'm glad I sort of didn't drop, you know, $800-900 on that. I think now it's quite expensive to get an FPGA, but there's that tacky. If you watch Reese's, if you watch or listen to Reese's Rambles, he goes on about the Tacky Udon, which is an FPGA system that has really undercut the market. And if you're looking at getting something to do some FPGA in your retro room, then that'd be a pretty good avenue. I know RMC, or the Retro Collective as they're called now, which has also got Heber in the same building, they have their new version 2 that is coming out, and I have an arcade machine, and I think that may be the preferred solution for that. I was thinking about a PC and I was thinking about a Pi, but the FPGA option, I reckon, that which actually supports all the jammer shit, is probably the way to go. So I'm not going to talk too much more about FPGA because I don't really know what I'm talking about. But yeah, apparently it's the dog's nuts. The PC path, if that's the way you want to go, there's a couple of little things you can, you know, you can just launch straight out for Windows, which I've had up and running before. One's ExoDOS, but oh shit, that is like 500 gigs. That's a massive undertaking. But same deal, you get yourself a carousel with every single DOS game that's ever been rolled out on the planet. As I say, it's bloody huge. I had it running, but I think I got a bit burnt out there because there were just so many bloody games that you could play that I didn't really know which one to play. And yeah, and I think I ended up running out of room and got rid of it. So that's one option. There's also CoinOps. I haven't really had CoinOps running, but that's meant to be pretty good as well. So yeah, you can set that up on a El Cheapo PC and bloody get yourself a DOS gaming rig pretty easy. Don't forget DOSBox. I haven't dabbled in that for ages, but yeah, that's just another option for someone who's wants to do a bit of DOS emulating. Now, for the serious bloody buffs out there, there are a few options. So there is the X16, which the 8-bit guy obviously has worked on, and he spent a fair bit of time. I think that's been like 18 months to 2 years in development. Seen a few of those kicking around, and we're sort of following the development cycle of it, but I personally think it went a bit bloody sideways. You know, it's a bit of a 8/16-bit mix. It's got ISA slots. It's, you know, it's got sound modules bolting onto it. It's got bloody PS2 and Nintendo controllers. So, look, I'm not too sure what the market was going to be. I think it was the market was actually probably going to be pretty good for it if they had kept the price down. But, yeah, I don't really, haven't seen anyone or know anyone who's brought one into Australia, so I mean, I could be wrong. I haven't seen any at any of the retro events, so interesting to see where that actually goes and where it pops up. I know there's an emulator, I'm sure there's a copy of bloody Petsky Robots come out for it, but yeah, not for me. The other one is the Mega 65, so that's the long-lived version of the original Commodore 65, so I think that's a pretty sweet option. That takes cores, emulates bloody C64 or 128, and I think I did hear there's an Amiga core coming for it potentially. Great way to pick up a 3.5-inch drive for a C64. You can plug a proper bloody 1541 in the thing. Runs at 40 megahertz. Yeah, bloody, it's probably what would you call the bee's knees of the C64 world. So if you can afford one of those, that's the way to go. And then there's a Speccy Next. Now, they're on their second Kickstarter run. And, yeah, look, that'd be a bloody awesome machine. They look cool. I think it's very well designed. And I know the guy who did design the original Speccy designed this and passed away recently, and a bit of a homage to himself. Yeah, so I don't actually have one. But, look, I just don't think I could justify getting a Speccy. But I think they're a bloody great bit of kit. So, yeah, just if you want to sort of touch something at the higher end, that's a pretty good option for you. But I guess this sort of came around from, I was running Amiga Game Selector on my A1200. And if you hit escape, you can, you know, or you can cruise back to the workbench. But I did notice in the menu there was an emulator section. So I started looking and I was quite surprised. There was an Amstrad emulator. There was a Speccy emulator in there. Obviously a C64 emulator. So I didn't really realize that some of those things had come out for the Amiga. So I guess my next mission is I'm going to see how many other emulators I can sort of get running for my Amiga. So I have bought with my Pi Storm along and the old Shapeshifter just on Macintosh night, just to shit off the Mac people. and run a bit of a bloody shapeshifter with Warcraft running in the background. So that is pretty cool. But yeah, my next micro plan, if I get a bit of time, is to try and see how many bloody emulators I can get running on the old Amiga 1200. So there's Game Boys and there's Spectrum, and yeah, it's quite a range. Even the Atari ST emulator, which I'd suggest probably runs like a turd, but yeah, hey, you can, if you want to emulate your TOS, then go your hardest. Anyway, that is about all from myself. I'm pretty much good. We're going to roll into Morgan, as I said, from 3D Retro Tributes. If you don't know what he really does, he's got a Facebook page. He produces cool little 3D printouts of old school 8-bit and 16-bit games. Everything from Jet Set Willy to Elite to Boulder Dash, you name it. He's a pretty switched on Irishman, so we'll have a bit of a chat with him. We'll roll into that and stay retro. Well, welcome Morgan Hetherington. He is the man from 3D Retro Tributes. I sort of think I stumbled across your Facebook page accidentally and I was like, oh shit, this stuff looks pretty cool. How you going, mate?
Thank you. Hey, Craig. All right.
Yeah, pretty good. Hot day here, and it was a hot day in Adelaide. It was 40 degrees, but I assume it's a bit cooler over there.
It was a balmy 8 degrees, I'd say.
Yeah, right. And did I hear something about the rugby?
Yeah, rugby, the Six Nations are on today. Ireland playing Italy. We won, just about, but still, we won't win the championship.
But a bit rough, mate.
Anyway.
Sorry to hear.
We won the Super Crown, which we beat England, we beat Scotland, we beat Wales, so hey.
Long as you beat the Poms, mate, that's all that counts.
I'm saying nothing. Most of my good customers are in England, so I say nothing.
yeah. No, look, I think you've got a great product there. It's bloody great, mate. Very exciting. So, yeah, just want to hit you up early and say, you know, where did it sort of come from? What was your original, you know, what games, et cetera, did you play as a lad in that? Where did your passion come from?
I would have been about 8 or 9, and I have two older brothers who are 7 or 8 years older than me, so they always had money. So they would have gone to the arcades and come back and reported about what they'd played. And I distinctly remember one of my brothers coming back and describing Lunar Rescue to me. And that sounded really interesting. And so then a few years later, he bought Atari VCS. Loved that. Made his Pac-Man, all the rest. Then he bought me a Auric Atmos. And then I started programming on that, and that really sort of, that's where I got the real bug for computers. And then he got me a Spectrum.
got a Spectrum.
You know, and then he got me a Commodore 128. So it went from there. He kept going from there. But the Auric Atmos was my first sort of love, as such as the computers go. You know, that's where I got the bug from.
Yeah, no, I haven't actually. Yeah, Australia, we've got a mixed bag of computers here. We've got a heap of American ones and we've got a heap of English computers. So it was a bit of a.
But Atari was very big in Ireland. Atari was big here because they had a plant in Limerick where they made a lot of Ataris as well. So, but my brother decided
early
to buy
800s,
an
Atari. Like the 800s and the 400s,
800s. No, the VCS main thing was the VCS.
Ah, right.
Wonder, yeah.
If you they come out the factory back door, you think?
I have one here, which is made in Limerick somewhere.
Yeah,
you know,
that's wicked. That's cool.
Yeah.
A few C64s made in England as well. I've got a few there. Got the old England badge on the back.
I ended up getting a Commodore 128. Again, different brother bought me that. So I was a spoiled little brat, basically. You know?
Yeah, you're very lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. So, but that's where the games all came from. And I started writing little adventure games for myself. And that's where it took off. And then it sort of left me for a while. I got into... just playing games, really, just playing PC and stuff like that. And then I'm also a collector of Star Wars figurines, so figures and that sort of thing, collecting is a part of my life as such. So,
good man. Did you play the Star Wars games?
A little bit, yeah. They were never great, I found, you know?
Yeah.
I would have preferred the Ultima Underworld and Dungeon Master, that sort of thing.
Dungeon Master, yeah?
Yeah. So, and then the Sierra games and the follow on then to the Lucasfilm games, the Monkey Islands and the Indiana Jones. So that's where it was. And
PC, or did you have an Amiga or Atari ST?
I had an Atari ST after the Commodore 128. Then I had an Amiga and then I had.
You saw the PC, light.
So. Yeah, absolutely. It was coming to an end. The Spectrum was, and the Commodore, it was just getting, they were getting tired, you know. So
Yeah, bloody hell.
I love gadgets. I worked for a company in Dublin, a very famous electronics company, who sold computers. So I was always there with the latest technology at my fingertips, you know. So I saw everything was coming. So
Yeah. I
when it
guess you'd
came
be
out,
the
I got
bloke
it. Yeah.
to go to all your mates coming, oh, what's coming out? What's new? Oh, you'd know
Exactly.
stuff
Yeah.
coming
Yeah.
in. That's bloody
Those
awesome.
days, you'd go to a trade show in those days, you would see
Yeah.
new things. You wouldn't have heard of anything, you know. You saw them at
Yeah.
the trade show before, year, months before anyone else saw them. But,
I like collecting the little Space Invader games and Tommy, you know, the
oh,
Caveman and Scramble and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's all that retro nostalgic
I
sort
have
of
a couple
shit.
of Game of Watch I got years ago, you know, the Nintendo Game Watch, and I had a, I have a, an ice hockey game of all things. It won the
Oh.
grandstand, LED games that a friend
Yeah.
of my sister bought me, so still have that somewhere, you
It's
know. But
hard. Yeah, it's hard to let go. You know, we've got
oh
plenty of
God, it's
space.
very hard. I mean, as someone said, there's a very fine line between a hoarder and a collector, you know. I think.
Yes, yeah. I did that the other month on my podcast. I said, yeah, collectors actually apparently meant to be organized, but a hoarder's just got shit everywhere. So,
Yeah.
yeah. I sort of said, you
No,
guys are lucky in the
I have.
UK.
I do like collecting. I do. I do. I'm a bit of a nerd. I like databases. I like building databases and writing software for building databases. So I
Nice.
do. You know, when anything comes into the house, it's documented what I bought and where I bought it, and much, and then it goes on the
Yep.
shelf and collects dust. You know,
Yeah.
that's the
No,
end
I've
of
got
it.
all my shit in a list as well. It's not in a database, but it's in a spreadsheet. So, you know,
Well, then you're a collector, not a hoarder.
yeah, that's right. It's in a Google Doc so I can access it, you know, 24/7. Doesn't matter where I am. I need to see where, you know, I've got one of those scary brains, probably a bit like yourself, but I can tell you where I bought it, how much I paid for it, what was in it, you know.
I can because I wrote it down, yeah. But like, I go into, cause I have thousands and thousands of Star Wars figures, and I
Great.
collect them in their packaging. So whenever I
Yeah.
go, I need the Google Docs or whatever I have it on to make
Yeah.
sure I don't already have it before I buy it, you know. So it's
Yeah.
a bit of an
Got a few
as
double
well.
ups there. Yeah. Oh, it's a bit of an
Oh,
investment.
absolutely, yeah. Total, yeah. Total double ups are right if the database isn't updated in time, or
Yep.
you know.
No, I like it. I
Yeah.
do watch it. I do get a bit envious. I watch dudes and they just go into some house and they pick out somebody selling, you know, they picked up a hoard. And it's just full of bloody old Star Wars stuff. It's like awesome.
It really is. There was a find there in the UK. Was it last year before? Black bags full of Star Wars figures in the garage.
Oh,
A couple of hundred
joking.
thousand grand worth. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually watched a video. My shit was about just less than a month ago, and there was some rare Star Wars, 10 Star Wars. Some dude's getting rid of all these Star Wars figures, and he did the top 10. And I think, oh, something went for over 100 grand. I think it was like bloody Yoda or something that
Probably
was.
wouldn't. Yeah, some of the old original 12 backs, you know, and mint
Yeah.
card. And or
Yeah.
a rocket firing Boba Fett. There's a few of them prototypes floating around, you know, and they're serious money, you know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I remember my Chewbacca had a chewed foot from the dog or something, and yeah, I think he got tossed out. But
Was lovely played with, you know. I mean, all my figures now are carded and in just on shelves, and
good.
you know, they're not unloved, but still, yeah, what can you do?
No, it's good to have a collection. So, just on the, as I say, I sort of saw your stuff probably 6 months ago, and I grabbed a couple of things, and yeah, I was super stoked. So, you know, where did that? Are you a graphic designer, or yeah.
No, I'll say I've taught.
Yeah.
I seen it. There was a website many years ago called, I think it was called Monumental Miniatures, and I stumbled across it years and years ago. And they had little metal figurines of 8-bit, like they
Yeah.
had Jetpack and Alien 8.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, Jesus, I want them, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I went back and it was gone, and I could never find it again. I've looked back through the archive. And it has been, it was there, wasn't my imagination. But so when 3D printing came along, well, when I came across 3D printing would have been, what, before COVID. And I bought myself a very basic machine just to play around
Yep.
with it again.
Yeah.
Wanted something to go around with, something new to tinker with. And I gave it a go, and I got really pissed off with it. It was too slow. There was too
Yeah.
much messing with it. There was a certain black art to using it. So I put it
Yes.
away for a good while. And then a year or two later, I came back to it and started playing around with it, and I looked at reviews, and I seen the newer machines coming out, which are okay, a lot more expensive, but they had great possibilities and great potential. So I bought one of them and then went from there. Three of them now, four of them now, actually. And so, yeah, I just started just tinkering around and I put one up. I built a little jetpack one and I put it up on one of the groups. I think it was Sinclair for Sale or one of them groups.
Yeah.
And a few people bought them. That encouraged me to build a few more and build a few more. And yeah, that's all I bloody well do.
Yeah, I was about to say, you must be pretty flat out at the moment.
Yeah, it's a great, I mean, it is a hobby as well. It is, you know, it's, I do enjoy it. I really enjoy making them, you know, and trying to push and see what I can do next. But yeah, it's, you know, it's
No,
what I do. Sort
looks
of
like you're
thing
always
for it.
completely flat out, man.
Yeah. But
Oh,
if I'm not
bloody
doing
hell.
it for someone, I'm making for myself or printing something, designing something, you know, so there's never a dull moment.
You just sort of like, you just have a bit of a mental image, do you? Or you just see a game because it's flashed up through, because there's so
A
much shit
few
on Facebook.
games. Yeah, someone might be talking about a game. Like, I've done some what would be classified as rubbish games. I mean, I did Renegade 3 recently as a joke.
Yeah.
One of the guys, Tez, what's his name? Tez Rollins, is it? And he's always gone about Renegade 3 and Super Grand. So I just did them as a joke sometimes and see what people
No.
say. You
I
know,
think it's funny
someone bought
sometimes.
one, actually.
Yeah, or if you cock one up, I've noticed you've like had a few balls ups there, and
Yeah.
people are pretty keen on that, just because I think it's because it's a bit unique and.
Well, without blowing me on trumpet, I mean, a lot of misprints I do, they are misprints, but there's not an awful lot wrong with them, really. But they're not what I would consider, you know, 100% proper to sell at the full price. So sell it off at half price. At least it's not wasting the PLA and everything, and someone might want it. And again, you know, I sell the prototypes off as well because they're usually, you know, a bit, they're not fully workable, you know, there might be loose parts on them or early ideas. So I sell off the prototype ones as well. And yeah, I do it once a month and it goes very well, you know.
Yeah, no, as I said, they're pretty awesome. Do you have to, do you just pick a version? Obviously, you had a C64 and you just try and pick the one that's the most generic, or.
Well, no, I try and do across the broader machines because I mean, Spectrum, obviously, where I live in Ireland, obviously, England being the closest country, they're mainly Sinclair. I mean, a lot of Sinclair Spectrum over there. And the color palette was quite easy to do. You know, you have eight
Yeah,
colors, okay,
four
you
colors.
have 10, 15 colors, you know, but, you know, the darker versions of them. And then someone said to me, oh, why don't you not do a Commodore one of the, I think it was the Bruce Lee one. I said, yeah, okay. And I looked at the colors. I mean, I love the Commodore machines, but the colors are weird. They're odd, you know. The,
They
you
are,
know, it's not,
yeah.
it's lemon, you know, and it's not brown. It's and it's not. There's loads of grays, obviously, and so I had to go and look for those colors in PLAs and match them up. And I'm still trying to match up some of the colors, you know, by
Right.
mixing two to get one color and that sort of thing. And so when I decide to do a game, you know, how popular is the game? Is anyone talking about it? Is there an interest in it? Do I have an interest in it? Because you know. It helps for me to remember the game and look at the game and like the game to make it, you know?
Yeah,
So,
try and
yeah.
pick a
But I
screen. I
do a lot
guess
of stuff, you could
Bruce
say.
Lee's a great one, isn't it? Really, you've got it's the same screen, just, you know, moved around a
Well,
bit.
it's the most popular sort of screen, even though the one I did, it's a tri and I would say they're tributes. They're nothing, they're not always the exact replica of the screen because you can't always do the exact screen, especially on Commodore, because I can't do the full width really of a Commodore screen yet with the printers. So you got to condense a bit, but it gives it the idea and the
Yeah,
flavor of the
no.
screen.
I like the Donkey
You know,
Kong because that sort of got the zigzag, sort of up.
well,
That's
that was
how
great
do
because
you.
that's nearly just the right size for the plate on my printers. You know, it's
Yeah,
just
right.
perfect for
Yeah. Do you have a
that.
bit of trouble with the structure trying to get the zigzag without it, you know, falling in on
Well, it was a
itself?
pain in the ass to do first of all, trying to draw it down and getting it right and. You know, there's plenty of prototypes there, you know, of that one. And then you'd mess it up, print it out. It was like the whole, the base or the structure of that is about, I think it's 6.5 hours to print just the structure.
Shit.
And you'd print it out overnight, usually. You come back and go, fuck, there's something missing off of there. There's a hole here that shouldn't be here. There's not a hole there. And so you park it aside, you go back to the model, change it, and just do it again. And, you know,
Till
it's a
you get it
learning
right.
curve. You try not to make too many mistakes, but,
I just got a printer like 6 weeks ago, and the first five prints were pretty good. And then I come in the other day, and it was Spaghetti Junction.
Oh, it's a black art, definitely. I mean,
It everywhere.
I didn't think I'd have to be a mechanic to work these things, but I mean, some days you just have to take it apart, and there's oil on them and everything, and you take it apart and
Right.
you rebuild it, you know. And frustrating some days, you know. It's still not plug and play, and just
Yep.
it'll just work with people, you know.
And you
It
just
is
sort of use the
frustrating.
software just to design it up and just draw it pixel by pixel sort of thing and draw it up and.
Yeah, just depending on what I'm drawing, I'd use different art packages, different
Yep.
software packages to do it. I mean, there's quite a variety of these things.
Yeah.
But
No, they look very
they're getting.
intricate and a reasonable amount of work. I assume like I think of like Bruce Lee, yeah, you got the little pegs on the bottom of the dude. You can
Well,
print him
you've
out.
got to design it. You just can't copy it off the screen and print it out, because gravity works and physics works, you know, and you've got to account for that. I mean, you can't just put a floating platform.
Yeah,
So you got to
yeah.
build it in. You got to build things out to fit the figures in. And, you know, there's a lot. It's not just printing. There you go. It is a lot of designing going into it as well.
No, I think it is a bit of an art. So, what's sort of been like one of your best sellers there?
Some of the earliest ones I've done, like Chucky Egg for the
Yep.
Spectrum, very
Yeah.
popular, still sells.
Yes.
Jetpack still sells. They're simple ones, and they're colorful, and they're inexpensive.
Very cool.
Someone asked me to do the Wild Bunch recently, the Spectrum game Wild Bunch, and I knew of it, but I never played it. I didn't even know what sort of game it
No.
was. There's a sort of shootout screen, and someone said, "Could I do that?" So I shrunk it down to a sort of small level, and yeah, that's started to sell now. But yeah,
Yeah.
it's
Oh, it's good if you've got a display. Yeah, obviously, lots of people. When you see them on your Facebook page, people post back pictures of their prints next to their games. It's bloody cool.
the plastic crackheads, we call them.
I like it. Any what's your favorite? What's your best one? I like my Boulder Dash one because I can move little Rockford around. I think it's quite interactive. I think it's pretty cool. Have you got
Boulder,
a favorite?
again, it's one of those pain the arse ones to
Oh, it
make.
better be a shit of a thing with all those bricks.
Yeah, and then people can break them off. I mean, PLA is pretty strong on a certain way, a certain axis, but it could, through layers, it can be weak. So if you rough with them, you'll break off the pegs and stuff. So it's always trying to, you know, get it right. My favorite, God, I do like the Bruce Lee, I must say. But you know, probably my favorite one is always the next one I'm going to make. I get
Very cool.
excited over making new ones and then
Yep.
have a look at them. I couldn't say hand on heart, I have an absolute favorite. Although Chucky Egg just works, you know, it just looks
Yep.
right,
Yeah.
lovely
Yep.
colors, and it's simple, you know,
No, I think it's
blazing.
pretty cool. Look, I'd have a shit ton of the things. I think the but your postage is pretty good, I will say that. Like, yes, it's not certainly not part of the eBay global shipping program. That's for
No.
sure.
And I try, you know, I have a few people in Australia who have bought stuff off me, and I try and be fair and help them out with postage. I mean, if they're buying a quantity of stuff, I will certainly help them out, you know, and meet them halfway or look at the pricing. I don't
Yeah,
make
just
money on postage, you know,
nah.
so
Look, it is what it
it's
is,
not.
and the stuff I got was well packed and came reasonably quick, so that's bloody awesome. Do
The problem with
appreciate it.
Australia is the customs in Australia. They usually hold things up for a good while, you
Yeah.
know.
I reckon I got mine came through in about a fortnight, a couple of weeks, and it come through pretty good, so
But if I look on my end, it gets to you in about 5 days, 4 days, and
all
then
right.
it sits in the customs over there. So I
Okay.
found that with Australia and New Zealand, and I think it was Canada as well.
Yeah. I don't think they're exporting too many drugs out of Ireland, so.
Think so. I don't put plastic crack under the customs declaration form anyway.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I do like the plastic crackheads. No, I love them all. I'd have a bloody, as I said, I have a room for the bloody things, but
The chap asked me to could I design then brackets to plug onto the tributes to mount them on walls and mount them on shelves and mount them on edges. So yeah, I've done that as well. So if you run out of space, no worry, I have a solution for
Yeah, also like a wall, like a little wall mount,
wall
little.
mounting. If you have a shelf
Yep.
and you have tributes on the shelf, but you have an edge to the shelf, I can build you a holder that clips
Oh.
onto the tribute that attaches to the shelf, attaches to
Okay.
the edge, you know? So things like that. There's always a way.
Yeah, I'll just like I'm in my man pad, but I had to empty the thing because I need to paint it, so I've packed away all my crap. But once I've painted it, I can start getting all my stuff out and actually get some displays. So yeah, keen to. keen to get those out on display. The only I have packed everything away. I've left my Boulder Dash and my Bruce Lee on top of the fridge. So that's about
Right.
the only things I've left out. So yeah, as you can tell. Now the other one that I've seen just in the last week or so is the old Elite space station. So yeah.
The motorized one, yeah. Yeah, it's getting a
Yeah.
bit of traction and I'm taking pre-orders at the moment for that. It was again, I designed that a few well, about a month ago. I looked at it and I just put a fixed ship in the front of it.
Yeah.
And then my head started going, maybe we can do something with that. And
Yeah.
then I started ordering in some geared motors and playing around with different motors and stuff. And the first ones they sent me were 1,000 RPM, so they weren't much use. So,
Well, remember the first time trying to get into that space station too, you got a
yeah.
docking computer. It felt like it was bloody going around a, you know.
Yeah. It might as well have been 1,000 RPM was going. I couldn't dock them without, the original
No.
lead. So yeah, I've started playing around with that and then starting to take pre-orders on Monday. There's one or two people that have them already because I had a few samples in.
No
So
worries.
yeah,
Oh,
just something different. Yeah, just something different.
no, I think it's pretty cool. I showed it. Oh, I had a retro night on Friday night, and I showed a dude. He's a bit of an elite freak, and he's like, oh, yeah. He got a bit excited there, and he was like, "So we might put in a bit of a dual order yet. We'll see how we
Brilliant.
get to
Perfect.
that." So sounds good. What do we got here? Yeah. What about requests? Do you obviously do a few things? I've got like a. Yeah, I used to have a Tandy TRS-80 as a lad, and there was a game called Dungeons of Daggereth, which was.
I looked at it there yesterday, yeah.
Did you have a look at that? It's very, it's black and white. It's almost a specky sort of.
Long run, yeah. Maze game.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want one, not a problem. I'll do up a
Yeah. Might
few
send you a
screens from.
screenshot. Yeah, it could be good because the Dragon 32 sold sort of well in the UK. I don't know about Ireland.
Yeah, I did a few Dragon. I did the Dragon logo for someone, a few of them. And yeah, I sold one or two. And then there was
Yeah.
another game someone asked about. I did that. Small, only small tributes. No, that didn't sell.
Yeah,
And
fair enough.
so,
Yeah.
but I've no problem doing one-offs. I mean, if people say, can you do X, Y, and Z? I look at it certainly, and I don't say never,
Yeah, no, cool. Because I saw actually Chucky Edgar can come out for the because I had the Tandy, but then I saw started getting into the Dragon 32 a little bit, and I can see Chucky Egg actually come out for the Dragon 32, so it's actually quite. It must have been a fairly big UK
Yeah, I've done
market, but
the BBC as well. Someone asked me to do that, so it's
yeah.
similar, but not. It looks similar, but the sprites are different. The colors are different.
Okay.
I've done Auric ones.
Yep.
I've tried to do Amstrad ones. I've done Amstrad ones, and not one was sold. So
All
I don't
right.
know what the story with Amstrad owners are.
I don't. Yeah. Well, they're a special breed.
Well, I won't say. I don't want to
Yeah.
totally alienate them, but.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything exclusive really come out for the Amstrad. Everything I ever played, you
No,
know.
but some of the games are really nice. The colors. I mean, I did Chase
Yeah.
HQ.
Yeah.
Chase, yeah, and it looks lovely on the Amstrad compared to the other machines.
Yeah,
And I even tried to get, huh?
Akari Warriors looks great on the Amstrad.
Yeah, and Krafton and Zunk. Well, that's an isometric game. But
Yep.
I put it up there and said, anyone like this? No. And then I put it up to sell off at half the price. No one wanted
Yeah.
it. Okay,
A bit rough.
I leave it there.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Oh.
And your charity drive that you got going at the moment. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, about a year ago, I got chatting to Brian Dickinson, who I don't know Brian, do you?
No.
Brian's bar. He does a few. He's great chap in the Spectrum
Yep.
retro scene on
Sure.
Facebook. Got him through himself, and I said to him, I'd love to do something for Matt Smith because I was doing quite well with Manic Miner prints. And I had permission to use all the Manic Miner IP from the owners of Manic Miner. And I said, I'd love to do something for Matt. And he knew someone in RGL, Darren Melbourne from Retro Games Limited. And we spoke and we said, right, we'll try and organize it. Great idea. Try and organize getting hold of Matt. And about a year later, we did. I done up some sample tributes. Yeah. And then it was only last week. They actually got met Matt in Liverpool, and I was all on for it, loved it. So got them to sign the little plinths we'd made, little
Yeah,
plaques,
that look cool.
and put them up. And yeah, there was 50 sold in about 50 minutes.
Oh,
There's
yeah,
about a request page for 100 and something more now, but you
Jeez.
know,
Well, you'd be
it's a lot
printing
of work
mad.
to do. Huh?
You'd be printing like a madman.
Well, that's what I have been just for the last few days, just printing willies and boots. You
Yeah.
know?
You're pretty much nearly doing
But
this full time, are you? Just about?
oh
Yeah.
yeah. I sort of, I mean, work wise, I was in the retail management and purchasing and things for 25 years.
Yeah.
That stopped. The company I worked with 80 odd years in business, it stopped in 2014, just after the recession.
Sure.
Then I started with another company, or I started up a company with another friend of, dealing with a friend of mine who works with Amazon and in fulfillment into their warehouses in the UK. So I had lots of contacts, obviously, in purchasing of electronics and everything. I supplied into them for a couple of years. Then Brexit was rearing its head.
Oh, yeah.
So that was going to stop. So that stopped. I had my mother-in-law lived with us for 5 years. I was her sort of carer for 5 years
Okay.
at home here. So did that. And then she died, and well, she went to the nursing home and died. And then so I sort of start doing the 3D printing more and more and more. So
Here you are,
that's it.
flat out.
That's it. Yeah.
That's bloody. That's bloody. That's, oh yeah, as I say, I think it's a cool thing. Yeah, 'cause there's a guy called like Lee from More Fun Making It. He runs a charity drive every year and does like
Right.
a 24-hour video chat thing. Because a bunch of
Right,
Aussies
cool.
got on it. There's about six of us all jumped on it, so he could be a good one to promote your charity through. He runs that once a year. I reckon it's in probably coming up again October, I guess. But yeah.
All my prints, anything I sell carries a donation for multiple sclerosis as well, anyway. Truth.
Right.
That is a portion of the funds go towards MS. So I'm always sort of saving and supplying that and paying towards that.
Good man.
This was something different from Matt, because Matt's been fucked around, and he's a hard time, Matt has, you know. So he's an
I,
inspiration to us.
yeah, it's good to have that. I donate to the guide dogs because I was really pissed one night and I bought a street directory. That's how long ago it was when we used to have a, the street directory, and it turned up about 3 weeks later. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I realized I was really drunk and I've just yeah, that was my donation to him. So since then I just they're the people I give money to. So yeah.
Years and years ago, when eBay was, well, it wasn't just starting, it was up a few years, I went on it with some whiskey and bought a Punch and Judy show. Why? I do not know. And it arrived, and the wife says, "What do you want that for?" I said,
Yeah.
"No, I just
Yeah.
bought it."
Hilarious, dude. Yeah, plenty of, well, yeah, it's bloody shocking now with eBay. Drunken computer. My missus goes, "What's turned up? What's in that box?" Oh, it doesn't matter. It's like lots of
Not, they
computers.
always had that. It was in storage, look. I just brought it back from storage.
Yeah, you gotta do it. What do you think of the retro scene today? You think it's sort of really gone bananas in the last 5 years?
It's quite healthy and third machines. I mean, I think that again, the retro games machine, the Spectrum came out last Christmas. It was
Yes.
great. Bit of fun, bit of injection into the community.
Yeah.
Whether you load it, I got one. I bought one. I think it's a great little machine. I think anything new like that is great for the community.
Yeah.
You
Plenty
know,
of gadgets and things out there, bloody hard drive, bloody flash cards and shit.
Ronnie Simpson made a little micro drive. I got that made for the new Spectrum. It looks nice, little machine. Add on
Yeah.
USB micro drive for your new Spectrum. That's good. I'm doing my stuff. I think anything like that just keeps it alive and keeps it going, because I think there's only so many times you can talk about Trash Man and Manic Miner. You know, you might be talking about new things and, you know,
Yeah.
enhancing things. I don't know if you played the Dr. Acula game last year. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah,
I
there's a
bought a
game
couple of
called
new.
Frankenstein.
I bought a couple of
There's a
new
game
Amiga
called
game.
Frankenstein. Yeah. Now, Colin Stewart wrote Frankenstein back in the day
Yeah.
in '84. He released a sequel. Brilliant.
Wow. Yeah,
You
I
know,
was.
it looks like it's a game you missed from the '80s. You go, how did I miss that? He only released it last year, but again, brilliant.
Yeah, the
So I
heaps of
think that's my big
64 games coming out, specky games, it's pretty crazy, isn't it, to think people.
back in trash and are out magazines. I subscribe to them, you
Yeah,
know.
I get Zap 64. It's it is a pretty good scene. It's like even doesn't matter where you are, I think. I think the Germans or the bloody Italians, you name it, they've all just about got half a magazine going, so
So I think it's healthy. I think
podcasts
it's
and
good.
yeah, podcasts are pretty
Check
healthy.
your YouTube
Listen.
channel.
Yeah, Retro Hour is pretty good. I like listening to that. Just listen to old developers talk about how they come up with some games. I think it's bloody brilliant.
Yeah. No, some good stuff. I love the Spectrum show as well. That's on once a
Yeah,
month.
I never had a Spectrum. The dude across the road had a ZX80, but he didn't have it for very long. Then he got a VIC-20. So I've got a few Speccies now.
Yeah.
I've got a one to
Was the specy not
48K.
available in this way, was it?
No, like basically, and like it's funny because you see, I picked up a bunch of BBC micros from someone the other day, and yeah, I said, oh, I bet your parents were school teachers. And they're like, yep, my dad was a school teacher because that's what we had in high schools. You know, we had a lot of BBCs, but yeah, no, the Spectrum didn't really, yeah, we had a lot of Commodore 64s were very popular here. We had Radio Shack and Tandy stores here as well, so that was pretty popular. There wasn't an outlet unless you're sort of into electronics and wanted to build a half a kit yourself. It just never took off. Amstrads were pretty popular. Yet again, Amstrads were in schools, so CPCs. But yeah, the old
No,
Speccy.
it's just like I've done a lot of Commodore tributes, but this don't sell in the same numbers as the specy ones. I'd love to
Yeah,
do
right.
more. I will do more, obviously, but it's just I'm not obviously not hitting the right groups.
Well, I think you got that local market there, so the post is probably reasonably cheap. I mean, as I said, it's not too bad to Australia, but yeah, it's pretty quick and easy to ship
Well, you would
something.
take like Germany obviously was a big Commodore base,
Yes.
and I sell some stuff to Germany, but not an awful lot. And the post to Germany from Ireland is cheap enough, and it's also in the EU, so there's no customs or VAT or anything. But
Well,
I'm obviously not just hitting them right.
the Germans are a bit weird, mate, you know.
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, no, look, it is a good scene. And sort of through this podcast, I used to have another podcast with another mate, and he's gone, he's not available. We used to have a thing called the Grump, but I've had to turn it back into the Bastard. So, is there anything out there that sort of shits you off out there about the retro world?
That pisses me off. I mean, the whole without getting into Brexit, I mean, it is a bit harder to buy stuff from the UK these days. I mean, games and hardware,
Right.
because a lot of it can get turned back, through customs and that. And that's the only. I mean, I've made some great friends on in the UK from this stuff, and met some really good people. Pisses me off, though, is just mainly people won't post to Ireland, maybe from the UK. Maybe we've had a problem
Right.
with customs, or there's also a problem with some of the Facebook groups now won't allow you to show your product even,
All right.
because they're afraid of scammers getting on and ripping me off, which is fair enough. But at
Yeah.
least then have some sort of trusted trader list of people who are not ripping people off,
So you're just going
I
to
mean,
stick to Facebook doing what you're doing? You think you might get a website going at some stage? Not
I
sure.
have started a website here, building one, but it's an
Yep.
awful lot of work. An awful lot of work,
Yeah.
images and stuff. I'd like to do one just to have it as a reference, even for people. But I mean, it's all there on Facebook. Everything I've ever done is on Facebook. You can in the group, you can search for stuff. You can go into the album section. But people keep saying, "Oh, go on to eBay, go on to Etsy, and all the rest." Like, I don't want to be working 24 hours a day. I mean, it's bad enough as it is.
Is it pretty noisy in there, mate, with all your printers going? Like,
It can be, yeah. When there's three or four
yeah.
of them going, I mean, you leave the room sometimes, But it's again not as noisy as the ones I used to have. My first printer now, you wouldn't
Yeah.
like a Hoover beside you. The new
Are
ones
these.
now are quieter.
And they're pretty quick, are they? They're pretty fast, or
Great. They're still not quite your replicator from Star Trek,
yeah,
They
one
are.
day.
They are quicker. I mean, but we're still looking at. I say Donkey Kong there, just the main base of it took, I think, 7 hours, or the 6 7 hours to do the base. Then
Right.
you got the plaques in another hour, you got the base sits on another hour, and then all the figurines are a long time because they're quite small and intricate, a lot of color.
Yeah.
So you could be looking at to build a Donkey Kong about 12, 13 hours for
Have you
one
got a
print.
multicolor printer? Have you?
Yeah, I can print up to 16 colors on the machines.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. What a beast.
Which is nice. I mean, it's nice. Now, I looked at a machine there recently, maybe coming out. It's a couple of £1,000 to buy, and it's unlimited color. It must be using ink or somehow.
Wow.
But it only prints up to 2.5 millimeters in height an hour. So,
Oh, shit.
fucking much use really at the minute.
Oh, yeah. Only got bloody 16 colors to deal with most of the time anyway.
In a lot of cases, yeah, it's great. That's why people say to me, "Oh, will you do some, Amiga stuff and PC games?"
Yeah,
Not
too hard.
easy.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the range of colors. It's not only the mountain; it's the range of colors. I mean, I'm fairly limited with PLA. There's a good selection out there, but not every colors. But I'm playing around. I'm mixing colors together. I can do layers and single layers, and put dark colors over light colors, and you can get different shades and stuff. So that's what I'm playing around with as well.
Well, look, I hate to rush you up here and finish this up, but we've got about 20 seconds, dude. It's
Here's your
been
hat with
pretty
Harry.
good. Yeah. Been having a bloody good chat to you. I appreciate your time and coming on for a
Thank
yak.
you.
And we'll touch base and I'll get that elite happening at some
Let me know.
stage. So, yeah, no, I
All right.
appreciate your time. And look, if anyone's out there, bloody, yeah, jump on the 3D Retro Tributes Facebook page and have a bit of a gander. So thanks, Morgan. You're
No
a good
worries.
man.
You're
All
very
right,
good.
look
Thanks,
after
Greg.
yourself, mate. Have a
You
good one.
too.
Have another pint.
I will. Don't you worry.
See you, mate. Take it easy. Thanks a lot. Yeah, bye.